This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, last week I started a message called Unmovable Faith. Anybody remember that message from last Sunday? And so I'm going to do Unmovable Faith Part 2. Amen? Because I think that a lot of us are dealing with stuff, and a lot of times we smile a lot when we come to church, but behind those smiles, there are challenges. And some of us are going through some challenges in our lives. Anybody ever been through a challenge? Anybody ever been through a test? And so we are all going through challenges. We're going to encounter bad days at times. Amen? And so we're going to encounter that. You know, life is not going to be always a bed of roses. Jesus received some thorns from those roses, did he not? And so we're going to get some thorns every once in a while, but we need to learn to how to respond to the thorns that come into our lives. And how you respond will dictate how you're going to come out of it and the victory you're going to walk in. And I want to respond the right way when bad things happen. And bad things can happen to good people. Some people say, what? I thought only bad things happen to bad people. No, bad things can happen to good people. But we have Jesus, and that makes us different than the world. Because the world has bad things, but they have no hope, but we have hope. Amen. How many people have hope? Amen. See, the world takes dope, but Christians have hope. Is that right? And we have hope. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we're going to go a little deeper in walking in unmovable faith. And so my goal is to strengthen your faith. No matter what you're encountering, you're going to be able to stand in the storms of life. Last week we looked at Psalms 112. And let's look at that again as a foundational scripture for the message. And in Psalms 112, it says, praise the Lord. I love that the psalm starts off, praise the Lord. In other words, you should always start off every day, praise the Lord. Amen. And blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commands. Somebody say, I delight in God's word. So another word for command is his word. So you delight in his word. And then verse 5 says, a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. And I love this part. Surely he will never be shaken. I love that. Then the rest of the verse says, the righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. Hallelujah. Until he sees a desire upon his enemies. And we know people are not our enemies. The devil is. And he's the one that's trying to discourage some of us. But he's not going to discourage us today. We're going to be encouraged. Amen. So it says here, a righteous man that fears God. And when you hear that word fear, that means that you worship God and you obey God. So if you worship him and obey him, you reverently fearing God. And that man will fear no evil tidings. I love that. So we're not going to fear bad news. We're not going to fear bad news. In other words, when you go to the mailbox, you're not in fear that you're going to see a bill. You're hoping to see a check. Amen. Sometimes we get a little nervous when we get to the mailbox. Oh, another bill. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we get that attitude. But no, start believing that God can bless you with some mail money. Amen. Glory to God. And I've seen it come in. Praise God. I've seen unexpected checks come in to the mail. And God can bless us. You believe that today? Excuse me. So a righteous man, he is steadfast and established, trusting the Lord, and he will not be moved. Now, the devil's going to try to get some of us upset because things don't seem to be going our way. Have you ever had times where things don't seem to be going your way? They're not going as you plan. But you know, just stay tuned because it's not over yet. And the day's still going and Jesus is still on the throne. Amen? What do you do when things are happening that's going to ruffle your feathers, that's going to cause you to be, you know, upset? What do you do? Don't panic. Praise and pray. Amen. I'm going to say again, don't panic. Praise and pray. That's what we need to be doing. Well, what the devil is meaning for evil, God can turn for our good. Amen. I love that scripture. That scripture came out of a situation with Joseph that was thrown into a pit by his brothers. They basically disowned him and sold him into slavery. And then God turned everything around and Joseph became a ruler in Egypt, a prime minister in Egypt. And pretty soon his brothers hated him for his dreams because he said he was going to be ruling and reigning, and it came to pass. And I'm going to say this, God is calling each one of us to rule and reign in our domain and to rule and reign over our negative circumstances. Do you believe you can rule and reign over your negative circumstances? You surely can. In the power of the name of Jesus, you can rule and reign.
That's right.
You just need to take authority over what the devil's doing in your household. Don't let him run your household. Amen? So say this out loud. Everything works out for me, no matter what. You got to start saying that. Everything works out for me, no matter what, because God is with you. Amen. I love that. So last week I hit on the point. I ministered on going a little deeper and standing stronger in God. And the point I came with was James 1. Let's look at this because we want to dissect James 1. Glory to God. And in James 1 and 2, remember I said last week, there's two scriptures that's very hard to follow in the Bible. Remember I said turning the other cheek is one of the hardest scriptures I have to follow, you know. When somebody slaps you, you turn the other cheek. That's not an easy scripture. There's hard scriptures to follow in the Bible. This is another one, and it says here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So James is saying, now the church at that time was under some persecution, and they were under persecution at times from the religious people. And he said, count it all joy when you encounter trials. And I don't know about you, but I don't get happy when I'm going through a hard time. But you know, the spiritual man starts worshiping. The spiritual lady starts worshiping when bad things are happening. They start worshiping God, thanking God, not for the bad thing, but thanking God that God's going to bring you through the bad thing. He's going to carry you to the other side. What Jesus said to his disciples, he said when they got into the boat, we're going to the other side. That's what he said. And then what happened? A storm came up. A storm tried to keep them from going to... The storm was caused by the devil. It wasn't a storm caused by God. Amen? Because God's not causing storms in our life. The devil is. So the storm was caused by the devil. We know this because Jesus calmed the storm. And if God was behind the storm, Jesus would not have stopped it because Jesus said, everything I do, I see my Father do. And if his Father was causing a storm, Jesus would have left it alone. But Jesus stopped it. Why? Because the devil is trying to stop some of us in our tracks, and we got to command him to get out of our household.
Amen.
Amen. And so he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Be careful about praying for patience. Be careful about asking God for patience, because when you do, get ready for trials. Lord, give me more patience. Well, you ready for some more trials? Because trials produce patience. In other words, a trial, you say patience, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, when you encounter a trial, you're going to have to learn to, patience is another word for waiting on God. You're going to have to learn to wait on God. Spend some time on the carpet. Spend some time praying that God will reveal some truth to you. Amen? And so trials produces, if we respond the right way, patience. And that patience will bring in peace. And that peace will eventually bring in the joy.
Amen.
Amen. Because what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to rock our peace. He's trying to get us upset. He's trying to get, oh man, things aren't working out. Who told you things aren't working out? Maybe that's not the perspective you need to be looking at. You know, there's two perspectives. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's one perspective. Another perspective, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Now, what perspective are you looking at? Are you waiting for the table or are you just in the valley? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And my perspective, I'm waiting on the table to be laid out, a banquet table. In other words, the Bible says that Jesus is sitting down on the throne waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool.
Amen.
Some of you need to learn to sit. Well, you guys are. Resting. Sitting means resting. You need to learn to rest in the promises of God. Somebody say, I'm resting. Well, don't rest too much. I don't want you falling asleep. Amen. Glory to God. And so the trial of faith, responding the right way, will produce patience in a believer's life. Patience in a believer's life produces the power for us to stand and keep standing when the storms of life blows our way. And the storms will come. Amen. So patience produces unmovable faith in a believer's life. But let's read again. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So this is saying to me, patience brings about perfect and complete faith that will give me a perspective of lacking nothing. I'm going to say it again. Patience will give us a perfect and complete faith that will give us a realization that we're lacking nothing, even though the cupboards could be bare. And when we start walking in this idea, we lack nothing in God, that God will provide every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I love that. So patience brings a perfect and complete faith in our life. If you don't run out of patience, you don't run out of faith. And also, if you don't run out of patience, you don't run out of love. Because faith works by love, and love works by patience.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Love is patient. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The first key to love is patience.
Amen.
So look at your neighbor and say, keep your patience.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be looking at your watch, seeing how soon this message is going to be over. Amen. So when we are dealing with seemingly lost in our life, remember, Jesus is the shepherd that takes care of us. I love this psalm because sometimes in my life, when I am experiencing seemingly lack, I call it seemingly lack by my perspective. You don't lack anything if you're in Christ. But in our seemingly lack days, sometimes I will have to confess the scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some of you might need to start confessing some scriptures in the days that you're feeling lack. I love what it says in Psalms 34:10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. Now, the lion is the most ferocious, you know, he's the king of the jungle, right? But even he lacks and suffer hunger. Amen. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Somebody say, I seek God. And when we seek God, in the place of our trial, we seek God for wisdom. We seek God for understanding. We seek God in what we need to do next, and He will show it to us. He will reveal to us what we need to do in our plights of life. Do you believe that today? But we just need to seek Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Amen. And so we got to seek Him where why he can be found. Amen. In James 1, 5 and 7 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, have you ever felt dumb in your situation? Have you ever felt like, oh man, I don't know what to do. I'm puzzled. I'm confused. Because that's what the devil wants us to feel. Puzzled, confused, not knowing what to do. But you have the Holy Spirit that will guide you and lead you in all truth, and He will show you what to do. Amen. And He says, let him ask God who if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So the key to dealing with negative circumstances in our life is that we have to ask God in faith for the answer that we need. You have to ask Him in faith without doubting, believing that God's going to reveal it to you. So what is the devil trying to do? The devil is trying to get us in our struggle. He's trying to get us to doubt. He's trying to get us to wonder. He's trying to get us to waver in the problems of life. Is that right? Yeah. And when he gets us to wonder and waver, then all we're going to be doing is crying about our situation. But you know, weeping may endure in the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is a time where you may weep over something, a situation that didn't work out, but there's another time where you wipe the tears off, you brush yourself up, you get up, and you keep moving forward. Amen. Don't let anything push you back. Right. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Don't let the devil get you wondering and wavering. And that's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. They wandered and wavered. Wandered and wavered. And God was taking care of them. The cloud by day, the fire by night, you know, the manna. I mean, how could they be complaining? They had food, they were warm at night, they had shade, they had air conditioned out there in the wilderness. Glory to God. I mean, God was making it happen for them, and then they were always finding something wrong. Don't be a person that's always finding something wrong. Be a person that's finding something right. Don't let the devil get you focused on the little things that you don't like. Focus on the things that you do like. Amen? And stay positive. We got to stay positive because this is a negative world that we live in. And the world is geared to negativity. Amen. And so I love that. So let's look at a scripture that promises us, if you ever in a trial, I have a scripture for you today that promises you that you can come out of your trial. There's lots of them. But I love this one. This is one of my favorites. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always make a way of escape. Underline that. He will always make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Powerful. So I love this because I love what the New American Standard says, because you can translate that temptation to trial or test. You could say no temptation, test, or trial has overtaken you. So in the New American Standard, it says no trial has come to you but what is human. God is faithful and will not let you be tried beyond your strength, but with that trial He will produce a way out so you may be able to bear it. Amen. So the trials in life that come our way, some of us might think, oh, it's the devil and this is a supernatural trial that's coming. No, the same trials you're dealing with, other people are dealing with too. Yeah. The devil has nothing new. He's always trying the same old stuff. And that's all he does. He tries the same old stuff, trying to get us depressed, trying to get us down and discouraged, trying to get us looking at the circumstances, trying to get us to measure it all out. Amen. But you know what? Payday in God is not every Friday. And payday does come if you keep standing and believing. Somebody say, payday is coming. Amen. In this life or the life thereafter, payday is coming. Amen. John 14:1, it says here, I love this because Jesus gives us the power not to worry when we're dealing with issues. And John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So here, Jesus is saying this actually to the disciples. Now, he was telling the disciples he was going, he was leaving them, and they were going to be by themselves. Amen. But then he said, listen, I'm leaving you, but you're not going to be really by yourself because I'm going to be with the Father, but I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that's going to abide in you and be with you the rest of your life that will help you through this life. And so Jesus is saying, it's expedient that I go. If I don't go, I can't send a comforter. Jesus could only be in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. And he's living big in you. Amen. And so Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If he said, let not your heart be troubled, you have the power. I'm saying it this morning to not let your heart be troubled. You have the power. It's you that have the power over your heart. It's what we're thinking about and meditating on that will bring out what's either negative or positive out of our life. If you're focusing on the promises of God, the Word of God, you can't be down and depressed. It has to bring you up and bring joy in your life when you're focused on the promises of God. Amen? And His Word has the power to accomplish all that He desires to accomplish. Because the Bible says He watches over His Word to perform it. So what does He watch over? The Word that you speak out of your mouth. And how many people are speaking the promises of God out of their mouth? You need to start doing it. And when you do, angels are on assignment to help you with the words that you speak. Now, if you're speaking negative words, you got demonic spirits on assignment to work against you. Yes, the devil's listening to you as well. And so you got to convince God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, even the devil that you believe God.
Amen.
Amen. So we must believe God. And I'm going to say this, God can work a miracle in the mess that we're in. Do you believe that today? He can work miracles in messes. In John 11:40, Jesus said to her, and I believe the miracle sometimes is more up to us than God. Oh, that's a good statement today. Sometimes the miracles in our life may be more up to us than God. Some of us are waiting for God to do a miracle. Amen. But sometimes we need to start speaking and because there's a miracle in your mouth. And when we start speaking the right things, believing the right things, miracles happen. In John 11:40, he said, Jesus said to her, did I not say, he was speaking to Martha, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? Yeah. Now, Jesus was speaking to Martha at this time where Lazarus, Martha's brother, died. And he was in the grave for 4 days. And they called and they sent a messenger to Jesus. Jesus was out, away from town. And they sent a messenger to come. Jesus, come. Lazarus, your friend is sick. Come, heal him. Because they knew Jesus could heal people. And so Jesus, you know, when he received that word, he waited a couple more days. He waited a couple more days. But why? Because he knew that God was going to bring glory out of this circumstance. And so when Jesus finally came, you know, Mary and Martha, which was the sisters of Lazarus, were upset, and they were upset with Jesus. They were upset. Can you get upset with God? Can you sometimes believe that maybe it's too late, that something's happened? And it's never too late with God. It's never over until God says it's over. Amen. Do you believe that today? And sometimes the devil will say, it's too late. It's over. You might as well throw in the towel. You might as well just give up. Never give up.
Amen.
Never give up. I like that picture of the pelican that has a frog in its mouth. And the frog's hands are out and choking the pelican's throat. And it says, never give up.
Yeah.
Amen. We got to be like the frog choking the pelican's neck and bite. The pelican can't swallow the frog. Amen. So we got to be people that never say, I'm never giving up. I'm always fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. So we must fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to make a statement to you today that's a strong statement. And the statement is that, you know, it's not over until God says it's over. But this is the statement I'm going to make. It's not over until you say it's over. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. It's not over until God says it's over. But really, it's not over until you say it's over.
Amen.
And you can't, it's up to you. Your words, your life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. What you said yesterday is what you are today.
Yes.
And your life is you are fulfilling the words that you spoke yesterday.
Yes, thank
Amen.
You
said yesterday, I'm going to church. And you're here this morning.
Amen.
You claimed it. You proclaimed it. And now you're here getting this wonderful message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must be like God. The Bible says, imitate God as dear children. It's okay to act like God. I'd rather act like God than the devil. Some of you say, you're trying to act like God. Well, who are we supposed to act like?
Yeah.
You know, you get religious people say, you're trying to act like God. Trying to tell God what to do. No, we don't tell God what to do. We tell the devil what to do.
That's right.
Under the power and the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We don't tell God what to do. We just line up with what God has already said. We buddy up with his word. If God says I'm prosperous, then I'm not going to go against his word. I'm prosperous.
Amen.
If God says I'm healed, I'm going to go with what God says. I guess I'm healed. If God says I'm a conqueror, well, I may look like a loser to the world. I may look like I don't have much, but God still calls you a conqueror. You are a winner.
Yes.
You are a winner in God.
Yes.
And you got to believe that.
Amen.
Say, I believe that. So you got to be like God, and you got to do this. God in Genesis, it was dark, and he said, light be. And God spoke light in the darkness, and light came. And you're going to have to do the same thing. The entrance of God's word brings light.
Amen.
So when you're speaking God's word, you're speaking light into the dark areas of your life. So don't speak what is. You know, if God said, oh, it's dark out here, nothing would have happened. But God said, light be, and light came. And you're going to have to speak light into your dark areas of your life. Amen? Let's finish the story here. When Jesus said that if you only believe, notice this, when he said to Martha, because she was upset about Jesus not healing her brother, he said, if you only believe, you will see the glory of God. Jesus put faith back on her.
Amen.
He said, if you only believe, say, I believe.
I believe.
And then he says here in John 11, 41 to 44, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Did Jesus get loud?
Yes.
It says here he cried out with a loud voice. Some of you need to get louder than the circumstances that are speaking to you.
Yes.
And he cried out with a loud. You need to get loud. Devil, you're not going to have my spouse. Devil, you're going to get out. You're not going to have my kids.
Yeah.
Devil, you're not going to have my finances.
Yeah.
You got to get loud.
Yeah.
You got to get loud. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice.
Yeah.
Think about that. Lazarus can't come forth. And he who died came out bound hand foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with cloths. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Glory to God. So Lazarus, so Jesus changes a sad event of a funeral and made it a happy event of a resurrection party. They were crying. They had all the mourners out there, and they had to change it and put party hats on. Because he changed it. Jesus knows how to mess up a perfectly good funeral. Glory to God. I heard the story about Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if you heard this story, but he walked in miracles. He walked in the gift of faith. And some say that he raised people from the dead. And you know, you can raise people from the dead with the power of God working in your life. The Bible says that you can. Amen? And so he was at a funeral. And there was a corpse in the casket. He picked the corpse up and threw him against the wall and said, "Live." And that corpse just fell down. And he picked the corpse up again and threw him against the wall and said, "Live." And the corpse just slid down again. I would have got nervous after the second time. And he threw it the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time and the sixth time. And I believe it was the seventh or eighth time that he threw the corpse. The life came back into the corpse body and the guy woke up. Think about that. That's the gift of faith in action. God can give you a gift of faith. And when you get that gift of faith, when you speak, it happens. Amen. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to believers that are believing for the impossible.
That's right.
Amen. Paul Youngie Cho, the pastor of the largest church in the world, his son ate some poison by mistake. Somebody was giving out candy that had poison in it. And his son died. And he started praying for his son to be resurrected. He prayed for 5 hours. And all of a sudden, about the fifth hour, within that fifth hour, the grace of faith came in his life. And he spoke life back into his son. His son came back to life. And his son said, "Dad, I was in the arms of Jesus, and Jesus was hugging me. And I was like, 'Jesus, I'm just so glad to be in your arms.'" And Jesus said, you cannot stay here." And he said, "Why? I want to stay here with you, Jesus." He said, "Your dad won't let you stay. His faith is too strong. He's believing for you to come back." And Pastor Cho said that was that was his favorite son. You know, he had like 3 or 4 sons. And he won't let you go. "I have to send you back." Think about that. Your faith can make a difference.
Amen.
It wasn't over when his son was dead. It took 5 hours of praying, but finally the anointing kicks in. Sometimes it's a process to our prayers. Sometimes it takes time. Give God some time to work. Allow him to work on your circumstance and situation. My mom prayed for my family, and it took 10 years for us all to come into the kingdom of get saved. From 77 to 86, and all my siblings, I was the last one. I was the most rotten one in the family. Amen. And so I was the last one to get saved. God got me. But I was not easy. Amen. I was the last one to get saved in the faith. Everybody else got saved. Both my brothers got saved. My sister rededicated her life to God all in 1 year. God can do it. Do you believe that today? And I love that. Let's look at the scripture again in 14:27. It says here, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He was saying to them that I'm leaving you, but I'm going to give you the comforter. And he says in 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus promises us peace that surpasses the world's peace. Christian peace is based on our faith in God and Jesus Christ. The world's peace is based on whatever they're going through. As long as it's good times, they got peace. If it's bad times, they got misery. But with a Christian, it doesn't matter if it's bad times or good times. We can maintain our peace with God. You have the power not to worry, doubt, or fear because God is with you. I like this because when my faith is being a little rock, I like 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Somebody say, I don't have a spirit of fear, but I have a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. And so when we are walking in soundness, we're walking in love, I'm telling you, our faith becomes immovable. Amen? God gives us a power to stand against any trial and any storms that come our way. And faith, I'm going to say this, faith is not used to manipulate people. Faith is not used to manipulate God. Faith is used to call those things that be not as though they were. Faith is used to tell the devil where to go. Faith agrees with God. Faith agrees with God's word. Faith doesn't command God. Faith commands circumstances. Amen. Oh, you hear what I'm saying to you today? See, that's where people get mixed up. They say, "Where you're telling God what to do." No, we're not telling God. We're just lining our words with God's words.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? We're lining up with God. Now, I love this in Luke 10, 38 and 42. Let's look at this. Now, it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into the house. And she had a sister called Mary. So this was, you know, we just talked about them just a few moments ago, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted as much serving. She approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha." You know, when Jesus calls your name twice, you better start repenting. And so he said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, that Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." So we see this account that Martha invites Jesus and his disciples into her house, and she's preparing and she's serving, but she's getting upset because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus receiving the word. And then she says, "Jesus, make her help me." And she says, "Jesus, do you even care?" And so when we're dealing with circumstances that are negative in our lives, a lot of times we want to tell God what to do. "God, if you just straighten up this person," right? And we're trying to get God to make that person change, right? But maybe we need to do some changing. And we're trying to manipulate the situation. And then sometimes we don't feel that God really cares. And I'm going to say this, God cares. If God's eyes are on the sparrow, his eye is on you.
Amen.
So I'm going to say this, Martha wasn't doing a bad thing serving. But she was doing it at the wrong time. See, there's a time to serve and there's a time to get the word. If you ever study out Jesus' ministry, Jesus would always preach the word first and then Jesus would minister second. He would never minister first and then preach the word. It was always word first, ministry second. When he ministered to the people in the crowd of 5,000, he said he fed the 5,000 after he ministered. And then he had his disciples serve. Martha was out of order. Martha didn't understand the power of God's word. Mary understood word first, work second. Because when you're working first and you put the word on the back on the backside or just on the side, then you get burned out. And when you put the word first, God's word will strengthen you to do the work of the ministry.
Amen.
And so you can do the work of the ministry when you get the word in you. See, it's so important that you get the word first and then do the work. Word and worship and then work. Amen. So proper order. So these are keys. So sometimes when we're in our plight, we're trying to work our way out of it. Have you ever tried to work your way out of it? Have you ever been in debt? You owe, and off to work you go. You say, "Man, if I just work overtime, if I do all this..." But you know what? It might not be overtime that might be the key out of your debt. It might be some wisdom. Maybe you're putting too much on the credit cards. Amen. Maybe you're taking too many vacations. Maybe you need to tighten up some areas. Whatever God shows you to do, maybe you need to start tithing. Oh man, I'm going somewhere today. Amen. Because God can open the doors of grace when you start obeying Him. But some of us are trying to handle our own stuff our own way, and then we discount the grace of God in our lives. And so when we start doing it God's way, God can open doors of grace. He can give you favor with people. He can give you witty ideas. He can give you open doors of opportunity. Do you believe that today? And so some of us are trying to work our way out of our problem when we need to get the word of wisdom to get out of our problem. And Martha was frustrated with the circumstances that she was dealing with. And so she was trying to manipulate the situation. Say, I'm not going to manipulate the situation. And so some of us are trying to work our way out of it. And some of us are trying to go in our own power. And we know that Peter and his disciples were trying to go in their own power when they followed Jesus at times. And in Matthew 26, 31 and 35, it says, and Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter answered and said to him, even if you're made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, that night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Well, you know, Peter was excited and Peter was going on his own power. He wasn't going on spirit power. He was saying, by my own will and my own power, I can stand. You can't stand with God in your own power. You can only stand with God in the Holy Ghost power. You can only walk with God with the Holy Ghost. You can't do it on your own. And you can't do it by yourself because this race is a race that's run with people. That's why you're in church. We run our race together. We're all in this together, running a marathon, and we're running it together. I need you. You need me. We need each other, and we need Jesus. Yeah, do you believe that today? Yeah. So Jesus cares about our trials because in another verse it says, and the Lord said to Simon, Simon, Luke 22, 31, indeed, Satan had asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And then he said, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. And we know that he was excited, he was exuberant, but you know, his words didn't match his actions because he denied the Lord three times. But see, he was going on his strength. But Jesus knew this. And Jesus said, I know you're coming back and you're going to come back stronger. We may have had some hits in our life. We may have had some things happen to us. We may be on flat on our face, on the ground, or on our backs. But I'm telling you, God, there's a new day and God's raising us up. No matter how hard you're hit, the harder you're hit, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right? So I'm going to say this, that when the enemy's coming, I almost lost that phrase, amen. When the enemy's coming against us, no matter how hard he hits, you got to hit him back, glory to God. Listen, we got to be like the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4:18. The Shunammite woman, I'm getting out of my chair now. The Shunammite woman, she heard about Elijah coming into town. She made a little place for her house. He would come into town and he would stay at her place. And she would take care of the God-fearing man. She would take care of the prophet. And pretty soon Elijah says, is there anything that she wants? Because she's been taking care of me and Elijah's a man of faith. And Elijah's servant found out that she had no children. And Elijah said, that's it. She's been blessing me. I'm going to bless her. You bless God's people and you will get blessed. Amen. And so she said, so he said, this time next year, you will have a son. And she said, do not deceive me. You know, don't be messing with me. Don't be fooling with me. And so that next year she had a son. And then years go by, and the son, I believe, is 12 or 13. I'm not exactly 100% on age, but somewhere on that age. And he was in the sun with his dad, and he had a bad headache. and his father gave him to his mother, and she laid, and he laid on her, and she and her son died. And then what did she say? She put the son on the bed of the prophet that where he stayed at in the room in her house. And then she saddled up the donkeys or the horses, and she said, "I'm going to the man of the prophet." And her husband said, "Is everything okay?" And she says, "All is well." Amen. And then she's coming to the prophet, and the prophet sends his understudy, Gehazi, to go see her to see if everything's right. And he says, and Gehazi meets her before she sees the prophet. And Gehazi says, all right. She says, "All is well." And then finally she gets to the prophet, grabs onto the prophet, said, "I'm not letting you go. You said you would not deceive me." So he sent his understudy, Gehazi, to put a staff on the boy, and the boy did not wake up. So he went with the mom back to the house, and he laid on the boy and breathed, and by the anointing of God, breathed the life back into the son. And the son came back to life. And this is the key. When we're dealing with issues and situations, you got to say, "All is well. God has it under control. God is working things out. No matter what it looks like, God is working all things out for good for those that love Him and called according to His purposes. All things are working out. Even in the bad things, the Apostle Paul got thrown in prison, but he wrote one third of the New Testament in prison. What the devil meant to keep him from preaching, he actually did more in prison than he did outside of prison. So you may feel like you're in a prison today. You may feel like that the enemy is backing you up, trapping you in a place, boxing you in. God is going to cause victory in that box. You're going to break out of that box, and you're going to become all that God has called you to be. It doesn't matter what the devil's thrown at you. You are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Believe it and start speaking it and start expecting it. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. Father, I thank you that you're raising up conquerors. You're raising up victors in this church and those that are watching. But perhaps you are in the audience, or perhaps you're watching and listening, and you never bowed your knee to Jesus. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and you may not have another chance. I want to invite you to receive Jesus today. Just say this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.